Hello everyone, I'm Kun Chow from the Emerging Markets Fixed Income team, and I have with me Peter Kinsella, Head of FX Strategy. It's a good time to talk about oil prices. On Monday we had a very sharp drop, 30% in oil prices, following the developments over the weekend where Saudi Arabia pretty much put an end to the OPEC and Russia agreement, indicating that it wanted to lower its relative prices and pretty much saying that it would be willing to hike production going forward. We've had similar murmurs out of Russia in terms of willingness to hike production. This has had a very negative impact in terms of oil-related assets, and today things are stabilizing. But let me turn to Peter. Peter, so what do you think happens to oil prices from here?
Okay, I guess from here, really, there's two things to say. First is the cyclical nature of what's happening, and then the structural nature. On the cyclical side, over the last 4 or 5 years, oil has been in this kind of a $40 to $65 per barrel range. And what we found was that when we got to levels of $60 or $65 per barrel, US shale producers would increase in their production dramatically. And in a sense, really, US shale producers were the swing factor in the oil market. And anytime they increased production, that more or less indicated the high, you know, the high in the prices, and consequently it declined. So on a cyclical side, we're now going to be in a new range. The old range doesn't really matter anymore. Mm. And really, we're going to be in it probably in a range of somewhere between $25 and $40 per barrel.
Ouch. That's a big adjustment from what we saw before.
It is a big adjustment. And we have to bear in mind that the last time this happened in 2014, it took at least 2 years before OPEC and Russia could agree on production cuts. So we're going to be in this position for a long, long time.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, our colleagues in some of the other teams, Fixed Income, mentioned recently that shale producers, they talked about them having an all-in cost of 50, but they have at the well cost of 30, which means they can run for a bit with oil prices at 30 until they can no longer do capex, and then production actually drops. But that feeds into your story about oil prices at least for quite a while holding in a low range.
Indeed, and I think that's a cyclical component. On the structural side, it's quite hard to make a constructive case for oil. A few reasons being that first, we're seeing an increasing use of sort of energy efficiency around the world. We're definitely seeing that the climate change agenda and the greening agenda, you know, that's definitely bad news for the oil price over the longer term. And thirdly, possibly even most importantly, we are seeing the increasing use of electric vehicles, which will over the longer term, I think, have a very negative impact on global oil demand. So in a structural sense, really, it's going to be, it's hard to make a very bullish case for oil over the longer term.
I hear you. If we have this kind of a scenario for the next couple of months, if not longer, what does that mean for other markets?
It means a couple of things. First, on the currency market, we're likely to see, we have seen the currencies of oil producing countries weaken quite dramatically. You've seen the ruble weaken dramatically, Canadian dollar, Norwegian krona, and also, of course, you've seen Brazilian real and Mexican peso weaken very, very substantially in the last 2 days. This is likely to continue for quite some time. And indeed, as we see, you know, further increasing production an oil market possibly oversupplied by nearly 5 million barrels per day, that's going to be very bad news for these currencies. So despite, you know, improved valuations, it's hard to see why these currencies should appreciate anytime soon. So on the first point, we're going to see oil producers which have weakened, they're going to stay weak, and they may weaken marginally in the months ahead. The corollary of lower oil prices is that oil importers should do reasonably well. If you look at the Eurozone, for example, the EU spends about 2.1% of its GDP on oil. Mm. And yesterday's price decline will lead to a saving of around 0.6% of Eurozone GDP. So it's a pretty substantial improvement for the Eurozone. The problem, of course, is that in a normal time, people would go out and they would spend this kind of, you know, extra income that they have. But given the vast increase in risk aversion we've seen related to coronavirus, etc., it's more likely that people will save any sort of extra income that they might have as a result of lower oil prices. So, you know, I wouldn't really bank on improved consumption metrics anytime soon in developed markets. So, you know, certainly for the Eurozone, the main reaction function will be we're likely to get lower inflation. The ECB calculates that for every $10 drop in the barrel of oil, in the price of a barrel of oil, it leads to around a 0.2% decline in Eurozone core CPI. So given that we've seen a near sort of, you know, $20 to $30 decline, or a roughly $20 decline in recent weeks, we could see a 0.4% decline in Eurozone core inflation rates, which would bring us back to Eurozone core inflation of around 0.5% in year-on-year terms. So this is a pretty significant move. And what it means is that central banks are likely to ease policy. So from the ECB's perspective, that basically means we're likely to see a rate cut followed by a modest increase in quantitative easing. They may well cut the deposit rate by 10 basis points or thereabouts and increase their QE. For the Fed, things are slightly more nuanced. What we're likely to see is basically a decrease, not so much in the inflation metrics in the States, but rather in the investment and in the industrial production and manufacturing production related to the oil industry, which is pretty significant in the States. And what that will basically do, in our view at least, will lead to the Fed to consider further rate cuts, even more than we've seen in the last number of weeks. And the Fed may augment these rate cuts with further liquidity injections into money markets, repo markets. We may even see the restart of quantitative easing over the coming months and quarters. So in a sense, really, that's going to weaken the dollar. And, you know, from an FX perspective, certainly getting long some oil importers, the likes of the euro, the likes of the Japanese yen against the dollar makes eminent sense in our view going forward.
Got it. Would you consider, or should we consider, expanding the net of currencies we'd be long against versus the dollar to some of the oil consuming the currencies of oil consuming countries like India, Korea, Philippines?
I would say that would make sense in a normal market environment, but it doesn't at the moment, purely because of the coronavirus related concerns. And what we'll find is that these countries that you mentioned are going to be, you know, they have huge links obviously to Chinese growth, which is poor and is going to be poor in the next number of weeks and months. So we're not really likely to see any significant FX outperformance from these currencies in the short term. Over the medium term, sure, they might trade at interesting levels from a valuation perspective, and indeed they may give investors some decent entry points. But certainly it's just a bit premature to consider those type of investments at the moment.
No, absolutely, you're right. I mean, if you go through these, like India is a currency which is super sensitive to global portfolio flows, equity inflows, and they're probably not going to get any of those. Korean won, historically very sensitive to export performance, which has been and probably will remain weak.
Indeed, I fully agree. And really, so, you know, the key takeaway from, you know, the lower oil price effect on FX markets and in general is one of, I would say, weaker currencies for oil producers, slight improvement certainly for the balance of payments situation for oil importers, certainly for the Eurozone, for the Japanese yen, etc. That will make a big difference. A broadly weaker dollar, given the Fed's likely reaction function. And then more broadly speaking, we will eventually see a pickup from the slightly higher beta countries you've named, but it's just going to take some time. It won't be anything soon. And I think more broadly speaking, it will definitely keep central banks, both the major central banks and the more smaller regional central banks, it will keep them with an easing bias, the result of which will be a continuing flattening in global yield curves.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Peter.
Very
and welcome. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.